Hello again there, folks. So I've recently done a few videos looking at the centre right and the Tory party in particular in Britain. I did the one on Hong Kong where the Tories have got this caper where they want to basically just import Hong Kong to Britain without asking anybody or without having any discussion. And then I did another one looking at who funds the Tory party and why they've got their own motives. And why it also means the Conservative Party will never conserve anything at all. And so I thought I'd just have one more pop at it to round that off and have like a nice little trilogy of videos looking at them. And this time I wanted to look at the media. So what we have in Britain, if you think of the what passes for the left and the right, but we're going to come to that. You've got the Guardian on representing the left side of that and the Telegraph representing the right, which people also call the Tory graph. And so what I did was just go to the opinion sections of both newspapers and scroll through quite a way back and see if I could like recognize the changes. What was the difference? What was the difference in tone? What were they saying? Like what was the difference in content? And so just the day before I'm putting this together, you can see here like on the bottom the headlines, to tackle Britain's obesity crisis, we must first cure a deeper societal sickness. And this is basically an individualist thing. So the bottom one here is the Telegraph. It is terrifying that our civilization will not mourn the death of a great city. So there's a sort of blackpilling article from Janet Daly, I think it is. Will Boris Johnson learn the real lesson of his first year in office? Which whatever that is, but the point here is that it's all rather bland and it's all rather unimaginative and low energy. And so when you go to the ones on the top, which is the Guardian's recent ones, and as I say, like you can go right back. These are just what happened to be up there at the time. I'm writing this by candlelight. Lebanon's economic crisis is a social catastrophe. See, then you've got so straight away it's like well, the world is in crisis, and then you've got Owen Jones, like one of the most ridiculous articles I've ever read. But tackling racism is on social media is just the tip of the iceberg, and then you've got another one. If Britain ditches overseas holidays, we can eliminate coronavirus. So then you've got racism there, and when you actually got into that article, it was basically blaming white people. For the fact that a black man had said some things about another group or something like that. It was just crazy. And then you've got like we shouldn't go on holiday anymore. Shut down the airports, lock everybody in the country. And then you've got who will hold the police to account for racist acts that criminalize a community. And so then it's institutional racism, Afua Hirsch, of course. So the pattern that you see emerging, and this is like really stark when you go back, is that the Guardian are operating at DEFCON 5 outrage all of the time. Like it's relentless. And the Telegraph isn't. The Telegraph is like a sort of sedated elephant. It's all bland and it's all low energy. And then what I've done is to go back and then look at like some key words that came to mind just as I was scrolling through and comparing and contrasting them both. Well, what I want to make clear here is that they are both they represent different wings of neoliberal globalist media. There's a bit of a story about that with The Guardian, which I'll come to in a minute, but let's just have a look at the Telegraph. These are the things which came to mind when I was like scrolling through the Telegraph's opinion section. So you get individualism. They promote an individualism which is standard of or like what we think of as right wing in the West. It's like the leftovers of English liberalism, classic liberalism, the standard Tory thing. It's pull yourself up by your bootstraps and tackle the world. What they don't do, which is what the Guardian do, is structural critique. So everything will have to come down in the end to individual responsibility. And that article before about the obesity crisis was one of them. So then you move on and you see comfort is something else. It's all about Well, I've got my two cars. I'm feeling okay. Don't rock the boat because I've got these material goods. I've got a good standard of life. And in all fairness, the Telegraph readership will be quite well heeled for the most part. But that so then the problem is it doesn't lead. You people, nobody wants to have any kind of radical ideas, and the Telegraph positively enforces that. Because if you've got radical ideas, maybe you're going to get prized out of your comfort zone. Maybe that will be a problem for you in your job, which is what we're going to get to, why they're losing this. Eye rolling is another one which comes in. So when they see all of this craziness over on the left, the standard practice is to sort of roll their eyes and sigh and talk about how crazy these SJWs are, as if they're still just this like little fringe, as if they're still like not really in earnest that they want to tear the whole place down. And this leads, when you put it all together, it leads to conformity. When the social fabric begins to change, they don't really want to challenge it. Because you can see how it comes together with the economics. Economics is in a hell of a lot of articles at the Telegraph, and it's always a sort of the ideal of the small state. Leave me alone, and I've got my goods, and I'm fine. And they all kind of link together like that. So then, when you go over and you look at what the Guardians, just these are like obviously this is subjective. This is my opinion of it. My impression, just comparing and contrasting the two newspapers. When you go to the Guardian, you've got collective action. So almost every single Guardian writer is belongs to one or another aggrieved minority group, identity group, which has an axe to grind against the host culture. Instead of individualism, you have structural critique. So we saw that just in the ones that I gave an example of. It's structural racism, structural inequality. It's the system itself which they dislike, but they've also been cooked, and that's why I've got neoliberalism at the top. This was a problem on the left which pops up now and then, is that sometimes Jeremy Corbyn, the Momentum Corbyn movement, will go after neoliberalism, the wider economic model itself, and that then they get shut down. And on the left, there's the people, many hard leftists regard the Guardian as being like this neoliberal sellout shill, because the identity groups, the structural change they're calling for, is all tacitly approved by the wider globalist project. Collective action would fit directly into that. We see it with woke capitalism all over the place. The rainbow flag is everywhere now. This is fine. The Guardian are all on board with that, so they're not actually that radical themselves. But under the dome of neoliberal globalism, they do act as a sort of vanguard for social change, which is the next one. Change. Nothing can ever be settled. Nothing can ever be when you just as you think that you've arrived at a given set of circumstances, that we've settled one particular debate, usually with them just forcing it on us, then we're instantly changed. It's a new set of values which are further down the line are being brought in immediately after that. Nothing can ever be conserved when they're constantly having to change the rules and the narratives that they want to play by, which is a Saul Alinsky thing as well. And then you've got anger. So another thing which screams out at you when it's ridiculous. They don't have much to be angry about, in my opinion. But within this framework, they are deeply angry, and they're pissed off all of the time about something or other. So what all of this adds up to is this really energetic but controlled vanguard which acts as the social policy of globalism in order to break down all of the values that people held dear and say why they're whatever it is, homophobic, racist, transphobic, whatever it happens to be. All of this stuff gets shattered and brought down. The older critique of the left is sidelined. And what you get is something which is much more amenable and even turned into a commodity to be sold and promoted as product by globalism, which is why we see that rainbow flag all over the place. But here we go back to the Tories. And then we can contrast it and say, so none of this has a hope in hell of standing against anything the Guardian are doing. Like, how many Telegraph writers or journalists can you name? I mean, I could name maybe Alison Pearson, who is like the most sort of un-PC of them all. But yeah, I can obviously name a hell of a lot of Guardian columnists, and I've done videos on it about how insane they are. Individualism, again, is like the problem with individualism is that if the left are talking about structural critiques and structural issues, as an individual, you're going to be living your life within the structure they create. So you're going to be, you're not really an individual because you're still going to be living in the wider societal and cultural framework which is being created by the Guardian. And in this particular case, I'm using them as sort of avatars of the left and the right under the umbrella of neoliberalism. So that when people say there is no left and right, they do have a point in this context. So the individual is forced to live within the structures which the left are creating. They're forced to be an individual, fair enough, but it's only under the dome which has been created by the SJW, Guardianista, woke, capital left, whatever you want to call it. And so it's pointless to be proud of that or laud it at any kind of value. And the reason why, of course, is comfort. Keep your head down, don't rock the boat. And so this leads to conformity as well. Eye rolling is just a pathetic cope to pretend that you're not utterly powerless and being swept from the chessboard. And so what you find is that what the Guardian represents is the social policy of globalism, of high finance. This is the social policy that what they bring. The only thing the Conservatives are left with, the only thing they can actually conserve or make an argument for conserving is the economic model itself, and the economic model which they support is neoliberalism. So this is just going round and round in circles. The Tories are the only thing they conserve is the economic model which facilitates the SJW craziness of the Guardian, and so you go round and round. But in a for the people who are signed up to this, for the people who vote Conservative, for the people who think of themselves as centre-right, where you end up with is a situation like this. You haven't got a hope in hell where of conserving or doing anything within this paradigm. So this is like the third video I'm making on it. I think if you want to have a genuine dissident movement, what you've got to do is step outside of the entire framework, out of that circle, and then look back in on it and critique it from that direction, and then offer your own set of proposals. So when people say, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" Well, that's the way you have to step completely outside of the paradigm that I showed in that last screenshot there, and then critique it from outside, and then have a positive set of things that you want to put forward, because you're then moving beyond the framework as it stands now, which has got us all trapped, which is just like one of those Escher paintings with people walking up and down the same flight of stairs. The stairs go up and down at the same time. So, thanks for listening, folks. Catch you later.